my role isn't your role. I don't care. I'm just going to do my thing, and you can hate it all you want. I'm just going to, what else is there in life to do but then to do our thing, you know? And I think that's where some people get tied up, is in acceptance or in feeling like they have to compromise who they are at all times just to fit in, or because somebody in their life is adept at hitting their shame buttons and shutting them down, trying to stop them from being them just because, you know, it's too much of a challenge that you are different than they are. And I reject that. I have long since rejected that. Part of my achievement of that actually came from Coast to Coast. In the very early years of Coast to Coast, with all those voices, everybody emailing, everybody telling me, oh, you got to do this, you got to be that. And after a while, I realized this is not helpful because everybody's got a different idea and none of them are mine. So I decided to just go with mine and let them be them, and I'm going to be me. And I think that's where sometimes is that first step toward happiness begins, with that realization that you don't have to feel obligated to change who you are to make other people happy. If it's not making you happy, you lose, they win. That sucks. No way. That's why we're talking about Code to Joy. We'll get more with Dr. George Pratt next in another exercise in that regard on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. You can find out more about the work of Dr. George Pratt. And if you're in the greater La Jolla, California metropolitan area, you could always, I imagine, find out whether he's got some time available to help you. You know, but we're talking about being held back by unhappiness. And that's why this book, Code to Joy, I think was very insightful. And it's one of the reasons why it continues to sell so well. And we're having him back because 2020 was tough for a lot of folks. It was really hard to find the same level of happiness that had come more easily in years prior to that. And I want to make sure that you know, too, George, that I'm not saying I walk around like some sort of idiot. You know, I mean, I have bad days. I have days where I'm like sad. I have days where I just think, you know, I'm going to go to bed because this day is when I'm not going to rush off to the Ian Punnett Hall of Fame, and I'll start again tomorrow. But I start again the next day with a feeling of, yeah, I can do this. I can do better than I did yesterday. And there's a sense of optimism. And so have you been seeing that loss in your practice too, maybe a little less optimism and a higher degree of pessimism about what it's all about?
I would say this year, with the current circumstances, particularly starting in about March, it's been more challenging. In my practice, there are I have people in sort of, I think, 40 countries at this point.
Well,
they have different issues, but we all share so much more than we don't.
Right.
We have an ability to brightly. There's a little sound. Is that?
Are you getting some slapback or something in the?
Yeah. Let me just try this.
We're not hearing it on our end. Let me say this while you're resetting that, is I think what's interesting about what you're saying about working with people in other countries.
We want to train people to be able to heal themselves, to be resilient. As you said, you're a pretty happy guy. I am too. And the whole world is kind of up in a situation where we haven't quite headed like this before in our lifetime.
Right.
You know, you were talking about you have kind of always been yourself, and you might as well, I say, you know,
yeah.
You might as well be yourself because everybody else is taken.
Right. That's good.
The idea is You want to be resilient. You want to have tools to strengthen you yourself. You know, we're talking about some tools that, and there's a lot of this on my website, drgeorgepratt.com, some videos, there's some downloads, and there's some tools, and I will actually guide people to, they can do a free half an hour download of deep relaxation, pleasant imagery, et cetera. That's very good for your central nervous system. So for those of you who might be going to sleep sooner rather than later, I just want to let you know there's something there that will can guide you, and and I think that'll be helpful. You know, what one of the things that we're talking about in the book, we're also using meridians and chakras. We're using some tools from other approaches that are extremely helpful and rapid, which is very nice. So, just to give you an example, I've had just about every kind of condition in my office or on Skype or FaceTime that is possible, from airplane crashes to you name it, over the years. And so I just want people to know that there is a way to help. There are practitioners, there are resilient, there's ways to train yourself, but there is hope. Let me give you an example. In 1994, people may remember there was a Rwandan massacre where children's parents were executed. And what happened is they sent in a team of psychologists that use some of these tools that I'm talking about. And in one treatment, and this doesn't always happen, but of the 50 people who had lost parents, 47 of the 50 were significantly helped, even in a one treatment. No, that doesn't always happen.
I believe that, but
it's such a powerful circumstance to have lost a parent. So yeah. There are good tools here, and I want people to learn them. That would
let's talk about the one that came up before the top of the hour, which is
your feeling self. So that's what we're talking about.
Okay. Well, I think there was one that came up before the top of the hour, which was the idea of not being able to trust people. Yeah. Can you not hear us? Because I think your adjustment to that is Donna, why don't you put Dr. Pratt on hold?
Here, and then, how about now?
I've been able to hear you. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, good. So your volume dropped way down, and we were really straining to hear you, so this is better because I can hear you. Before the top of the hour, we were talking about not being able to trust people.
Yes.
And so what would be an exercise, because I noticed that actually came up with a couple of follow-up comments as well. And especially somebody who has come out of, whether it's a PTSD, whether it's from a difficult home life or, you know, a work life thing, what would you say and how would you approach helping somebody repair the ability to be able to trust others?
Well, number one, we would use something like neuromuscular feedback, where we have an ability in our bodies so that when you say something that's true or congruent, let's say all the muscles in your body will be, let's say, 8 to 15% stronger if you're properly organized, just like a battery, that what will happen is you will test stronger with your arm. If somebody presses down, you are going to be more resilient. So you can identify what's happening. You can identify the thoughts, feelings, and emotions so that you can help these people to be helped rather rapidly. That's one of the easiest methods.
Okay.
So let me go over a little pattern right now. So those people that are listening at this point, let's just see how people feel, because some people will be short-circuited, some people will not. It's probably going to be about 50-50. So let's just do something for about 2 minutes, and let's see if people like that. Let's have people put, if they would like, as long as you're not driving, put the left ankle over the right, and then extend the arm straight out in front of you and the right hand over the left. Palms together, interlocking the fingers, and just resting your hand in your lap. Okay? And
yep.
So left over right, and then right hand over left. Okay? And
yep.
So for about 2 minutes, just close your eyes and just move the tongue to the roof of your mouth as you breathe in and relax the tongue as you exhale.
Okay.
So tongue up, breathe in. Relax the tongue, breathe out. And we're going to do that for about 2 minutes.
Theoretically, right? So the notion of that deep breathing is obviously just to even increase our O2 levels going into our bloodstream, right? Because anytime we're breathing in through our nose, we're getting a better lung capacity fill than if we were just
right.
breathing
but
through our mouth.
It's also a little more of an effect of the polarity issue.
Right. Okay, good.
So there's a couple different things that are happening, and you're exactly right. And so just tongue to the roof of your mouth as you breathe in. Relax the tongue as you exhale. And you're just going to do this for about 2 minutes.
At some point, does this turn into a kind of self-hypnosis?
Well, self-hypnosis is a wonderful tool as well. But in a way, there is something there. But it's really operating on a couple different levels, because self-hypnosis is a wonderful tool. And did you ever study that, Ian?
Not significantly, but I've done a couple of shows with people who had touched on that enough that I felt like I had at least an understanding of how it worked. And that's why almost everything, whether it's good acting or self-hypnosis, starts with deep breathing.
Right. And that actually has a substantial positive effect. The kind of breathing in through the nose and exhaling through the mouth and doing that along with what we're doing. There are some videos on my website that show some of these things.
And so, trust me when I say I would be willing to do that for 2 minutes on the air, except that about 600 transmitter alarms at radio stations along the network would be going off due to dead air.
Okay, we wouldn't want that.
We don't want that.
It's something for people to explore.
Right.
And so simply left over right on the feet, right over right hand over the left, so, and then tongue the roof of your mouth as you breathe in, and relax the tongue as you breathe out. And you do that for about 2 minutes, and then see how you feel.
And how would that get us closer to trusting people? How does it get us closer to trusting others or to breaking through those 7 self-limiting beliefs?
Well, when you trust yourself, then you're more capable of trusting others.
Oh, that's a good point.
And so if we go back to the issue of families that might be dysfunctional and parents that are dysfunctional and then the effect on the kids, we want everybody to have an opportunity to feel grounded and centered and optimistic and to shine brightly. And even if they're not in their home, that is not possible, hopefully they will be able to do that in school, in sports, in church, etc., so that they can shine more brightly.
And I like that idea of addressing all of those at once and finding that thing which is blocking you from being able to self-realize that you are worthy. You can, there's a lot, it's almost, there's too often, I think, therapeutically, where people think that just because somebody is told something that they can internalize that. It has to start from within. So to self-actualize one's worthiness, even at 40%, is more valuable than everybody in their family reminding them all the time that they're worthy. That's just very likely not going to break through any more than yelling, "Eat a sandwich," to somebody who is, who has an eating disorder. So I kind of feel like you're really onto something in that idea. So what are we unlocking when you talk about a code, you know, to joy? What is actually being unlocked?
It's unlocking the electrical activity in the body so that they can function more clearly, to feel more empowered, strengthened, and worthy. And then being able to identify issues and to clear them, not just make them better, but to clear them. And that's the exciting part. So the conscious mind is about 99% unaware of what's going on at a subconscious level.
Right.
But the subconscious really determines the feeling self. So we want to be able to connect with the subconscious because it is so meaningful to us. But it requires some attention to connect with that, and so that they can feel more worthy and worthwhile. They can engage in positive thinking more easily.
I like that. And we'll be coming up at the bottom of the hour. I can't go too deeply into this, but I wonder whether you could address real quickly. You mentioned that you talk to people from all over the world, all these different countries. And I know that different countries culturally have a context or a problem with depression, which can be self-defeating and therapeutically. That, for example, in a lot of Muslim countries, they just don't talk about depression. And so it can only get worse. And then we have many people who are in search of a sense of accomplishment or a sense of understanding why they're even on the planet. And they may be the ones who are going to be more likely to pick up a gun or make a bomb because they're trying to make some sort of statement that they were here. And it really comes down to it, if our mental health practices were equal or higher, we would be able to, I think, eliminate a lot of the anger in the world, which leads to conflict. So I'll hang that question out there and get back to it. If you can hang on to that, and we'll give the numbers too coming up so that you can join this conversation. So stand by, we'll run the numbers. And I think it'll be important for you to talk about with Dr. Pratt about the problem that you're facing, that unique issue which you're struggling with. Let's get to those right away. Let's not even wait till the last hour. We'll give you the numbers that you need next. And if you missed that first hour and you have Coast Insider or you want to go look it up on YouTube, it's a great conversation about college debt. coming up and how we're going to handle that in 2021. It's been a busy night. Just get busier coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. I scheduled that bumper as a memo to self to ask Dr. Pratt about the relationship of money to happiness. We'll get back to that in just a second, but there you go. All the numbers are there and the lines are open. So we'd love to have you join the conversation and that unique thing which is stopping you from being happy. What can Dr. Pratt do for you? The doctor is in. Are you? We'll find out coming up in just a second. And we'll find out more about what's going on with you next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. While we are lining up the callers for Dr. George Pratt, let me ask you, if I could, George, what is the relationship between money and happiness in your practice?
Well, obviously, if you don't have money, that's a problem. You can certainly acquire it and feel safer with that. The challenge is money alone won't make you happy. You can still have problems with your subconscious, with traumas from the past. They don't go away. If you think of, let me talk about the flea and the elephant. Let's say that the flea is your conscious mind and the elephant is your subconscious mind. So think of a flea riding on an elephant. So the elephant is going to go wherever it wants to go. The flea, the conscious mind, is well-intentioned, but the subconscious is going to determine where you go. So we want to include the subconscious in all of these things, all of these opportunities to heal, grow, be happy, achieve your goals. And obviously, if you don't have money, that's a stressor. But money alone will not make you happy. It'll remove some stress. But if you think about some of the people that are very wealthy and they're depressed, they're angry, they have other issues. So you want to love yourself, and there are tools to help you to do this. When I was talking to you about the making your arm strong, it's called neuromuscular feedback. You can actually get a lot of information or have somebody help you to get that information to, so you can shine more brightly.
We'll get to the calls in just a second. I think that in my experience, there's been some people who, while they were temporarily happy when they had more money, fear began to take over again, and they were so afraid of losing that money, which they thought was the source of their happiness, that it just created a whole other cycle. It didn't really resolve anything.
Right. That's the problem, that you want to get to the very basis of this, and that's the subconscious mind. You want to feel at peace and optimistic and centered and strong and joyful, and not just consciously, because that's a very small part of it. So right. These kinds of tools that we're talking about, you know, let's put it this way, that when you remove some of these blocks, you establish an intention to heal, and you can trust that your mind and body know how to do that healing if the blocks are removed, so that you can see, feel, sense, and perceive new opportunities to love yourself, to, if you don't have money, that's a problem. But money alone won't do it. We have lots of examples of that.
First-time caller line, Marie is in Delaware on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. George Pratt, the Code to Joy. You can link up to him through the website. Marie?
Hello. Good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Marie.
I've been very, very depressed for many, many years. I bought a home and lived in it for a short time and very stupidly sold it and moved to a smaller home, and I am regretting it every day. The house is very near the one that I live by, and I'm regretting I just can't get kicked around and get started in this other house. I'm having very, very bad regrets about some mistakes I've made. I'm single, and I just can't get a grip. I'm very, very down about it.
And it probably
can't let go of it.
Probably doesn't help that you drive past the old place then if you live near it, right?
Our yards are connected.
Oh, my God. So now you can't ever forget it.
No, and I'm financially in a hole right now. I definitely can't move anywhere, but I can't let go of it. I have that also with someone that I'm interested in right now. I'm somewhat obsessed.
Yeah.
I just can't let go and move on. I can't shake it.
George, what do we say?
So you have a trauma. You have some post-traumatic stress disorder from what happened. So you made a decision, and you wish that you hadn't done that, and then you have it kind of in your face every day. Let me just see here for a moment.
Okay.
Do you want to do something, just a little experiment for just a couple minutes? Is that okay?
It's all right as long as there's not dead air. Yeah, I'm great.
Right. No dead air. I'll keep
okay. Talking.
Well, let's say that dead air, yes. Let's put it this way. There are tools to clear that actually in one session.
Oh, my.
Could you do that in one session, Marie?
Please.
Would that helpful?
Yes, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Okay, well, let's hear how that might sound.
Yeah, and so the, we could do this. Well, we could do a little something right now because it would probably take, there's going to be several different elements of it, but it'll be 30 to 45 minutes. So
sure.
Let's just do a little thing right now. I want you to take a nice deep breath. I want you to put your feet on the ground. Place your left ankle over your right.
Okay.
And then place your right hand over your left.
Okay.
And interlock your fingers. And so
okay.
For just a little bit, I'm going to have you move your tongue to the roof of your mouth as you breathe in, and then relax the tongue as you exhale. And you're going to do this for about 2 minutes, and I'll kind of chat so people will still know that we're on the air.
Okay, and I heard this in the session that you were just giving. I did hear this exercise, and I tried it.
Uh-huh.
Not for the full length that we didn't have time then, but it didn't help a lot.
Yeah, I can tell that it didn't. So we're gonna just do this right now and see if this helps a little bit. So left ankle over right, right hand out over left, tongue to the roof of your mouth as you breathe in, and relax the tongue as you exhale. Peaceful singing. And you're gonna
arms out straight. Arms out straight, correct?
Say again.
Arms out straight. She asked.
Yes. Okay, in front of me. Okay.
Left ankle over right, right hand out over left, interlock fingers, tongue to the roof of your mouth as you breathe in, relax the tongue as you exhale, and you're just going to smile while we're talking, because, you know, what we want to do is we want to help people to move to their full potential, and we're just going to help you to just kind of tongue up, breathe in, relax the tongue, breath out, peaceful scene representing balance. And just feeling a sense of balance, calm, centeredness. Just allow a sense of relaxation in the feet. Just moving that relaxation through the lower legs. is moving through the upper legs and around the abdomen and the lower back. And just breathing slowly and deeply. Just kind of thoughts of the day just kind of drifting away. Just a little more sense of balance and perspective. And then through the abdomen, through the lower back, just coming up over the shoulders, through the chest, and the stomach, from the shoulders, through the neck, through the scalp, and the face. Just relaxing the forehead, around the eyes and nose and mouth. Shoulders down to the elbows. And now from the elbows to the wrists, just relaxing, soothing, comforting, healing through the fingers, back to the wrists, back to the shoulders, down the spine, radiating out through the back, through the abdomen, around the waist. A sense of balance, perspective, healing, feeling greater sense of soothing sensations around the waist, through the buttocks, the lower legs, through the knees, just down to the feet. Just kind of breathing in relaxation. And exhaling tension. Just allowing thoughts of the day to just drift far, far away. Just balancing, centering, strengthening, empowering. Feeling a little better?
I feel a little airy and a little numbness in the head.
Okay, are you feeling a little more comfortable?
Yes.
About 25%?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good. The you can go to my website and see some videos on these things, so you can follow the some of the techniques that are there. But if we had a little more time and we did a couple of more processes, that would be, that's kind of an easy thing to fix, but we don't want to have dead air.
Oh, and I have a question. This is not, if somebody were to ask me this question, Marie, I'd ask you a question in return about your the anxiousness you feel over that decision that you made. Is what are the trade-offs that you make? Every decision we make, every, you know, kind of business decision, personal decision, everything comes as sort of a trade-off. We're doing one thing and so what did you hope to get out of the downsizing to the smaller house? And what is it that you're holding on to that you think you gave up for the larger one?
I was in a relationship with someone that I owned a home with, and things were bad.
Yeah.
And to escape from the situation, I stupidly moved away I got rid of the house instead of getting rid of him.
Right.
And it was an escape. And even moving in, things weren't fitting, and I still can't get it together. It was a stupid, very stupid mistake. It was a beautiful, beautiful home. And I'm still in clutter, and I just can't get a grip. I can't get it together. I have no incentive to do anything. I'm very down, very down.
Right.
I think you have some depression as a result of the circumstance and the loss, but you can recover from that. And obviously there was a distress with him for you to want to do that. And if you think of what it would have been like if you were still with him, that would be problematic. Now you can't
do not like being alone at all. I'm starting to panic a bit because I'm getting older and I'm still alone. And I have met someone that I'm head over heels with, but the feeling's not mutual. And I'm feeling distressed about that too.
Well, this is first of all, I thank you for your candor, and I wish we could do more in the time that we have. I hope that at least in the small amount of time that we did spend, that you feel a residual benefit from knowing that other people care. You are not alone, as one of those self-limiting principles can be. You are obviously not. It's not a question of whether or not you're lovable. You are, and Absolutely. Or that you're worthy, because part of, I think, what you're feeling is a sense of worthiness that you deserve better. And I think you do, too. So I hope that you're, if you think of it conversely, other people might be in your situation and they walk away from it feeling like, oh, this is all I deserve. Well, I screwed up, whatever. But I don't, you escaped. I don't know that you stupidly escaped. I wish if I could do one thing, I wish you would just take out that adverb. You escaped. You did the best you could under those circumstances. Now, with a little bit of daylight, maybe you're thinking there's another way to escape from the situation you're in. At least I hope that helps. And that we're running out of time toward the top of the hour, and I want to get one more person in, Marie, but you're not alone. And I thank you for making Marie, that so interesting.
Thank you for sharing. You will feel better. I want you to, each day, I want you to see your day. I want you to do things that are constructive about either meeting people or sharing possibilities with other friends, but exploring and treating yourself in a loving way.
Yeah.
It all makes challenging situations at times. You did the best you could at the time, given the dynamics. And I just say I'm glad that you are speaking to us, and I want you to follow through and explore meeting some other people.
We'll take this up to the top of the hour, and we'll get started. If everybody else can hang on, we'll get to you, too, and whatever it is that Dr. George Pratt can do to help you find some missing joy in your life. And you can find out more if you can't get through on the phones. But we'll give you the number in just a moment. But if you can't get through, go to the website, coasttocoastam.com. This is Ian Punnett.